But somehow I missed a turning and ended off down another road that I didn't recognize. But fortunately, I found a man who put me back on the right road, and here I am. Didn't come in the way I expected. It came up at the back end here, and I was expecting to drive down here, but we're here. And it's good to share fellowship and to enjoy your company this morning. I want us to read together from the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 24. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be thinking on the subject of faith this morning. And the whole chapter is about faith, but I just want to pick out six or seven verses here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And by faith the walls of Jericho, after the people had marched around them, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, as I said, I want to talk about faith. Now, we all have faith, and everyone in the world lives by faith. Faith that, but the Bible tells us that God has given a measure of faith to every man so that they can believe in him. And we all live by faith. As children, we have faith in our parents. We have faith in our teachers. We have faith in our elders. Sometimes that faith is spoiled, is disappointed, but nevertheless, we live and make our choices according to the faith that we have. And what we believe determines those choices that we make. If you come and are brought up in a loving family where trust has been honored and so on, you will make your decisions in a similar way. You will decide on your life and how you deal with other people in view of the way that you have applied that faith and learned through it. If you've been brought up in a very empty home of love, you've grown up trusting only in yourself. And you grow up making decisions in your life that you look after number one. And many people, sadly, have to grow up in a society, in a culture like that, that has formed their being in that way. We all live by faith. And our faith, what we believe, determines our decisions. And our decisions determines our destiny, where we end up. But destiny is not only where we end up, but destiny is also the route we take, because God is interested in every area of our lives. And for those people who this is everything that there is, for those who don't believe in God, then they make their decisions according to what they think the world is about. And they live their lives, some of them graciously and carefully, but most of them selfishly and just in the way that they see is right for them. But those who believe and know that there is a greater plan, that it is not just fate or luck, but that God is a master architect and planner, and that he not only created the world, but created a special place in that world and in that creation for each and every one of us. Those of us who believe that, we make our decisions differently because we are making our decisions with regard to the destiny that God has planned for us. And so he guides us through his word as to how to make those choices, because choices are our responsibility. And what we do with the choices and the decisions that we have in our life determines whether we enjoy that destiny that God has for us and whether we enjoy it along the way as he leads us. And so let's look at a wonderful example of this in the life of Moses, right slap bang in the middle of this chapter 11, full of wonderful examples of men and women of faith. And I'm going to begin with Moses. It says here, he refused to be known as Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be with the people of God rather than to live in the comfort of Pharaoh's palace. And that was an amazing choice. We wonder how he came to that choice. You know, I often try, you know, let my imagination go. I don't know about you, but when I'm reading the Bible, sometimes, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that went on. It tells us the main things and the word that God wants us to know. But we know that there are lives wrapped around it and all sorts of things were happening. And I just like to imagine that his, you know, when Miriam brought his mother to be his nurse, that she taught him the history of the people of Israel, that when she told him his bedtime stories, they would be about Abraham, they would be about Isaac, and they would be about the way that God had led the people and given them a covenant. And she may have sneaked in there that he wasn't really an Egyptian, he was really an Israelite, and that his destiny was with the people of God. And so faith comes by hearing, Paul says in Romans. Without hearing a direction, we can't put our faith in it. Until I asked that man the way this morning, I didn't know what way to come. But when he gave me the directions, by faith, I took them. And so when I heard the direction, I activated my faith in that man, and here I am. And God gives us instructions. And God teaches us, and God leads us. God calls us to live for him. Faith is not just an airy-fairy feeling. Faith is very practical. Faith is putting my life in what I believe, is living my life in accordance with what I believe. And Moses did that. He chose not to be an Egyptian. He chose not to live in the comforts of the palace. He chose to have a different world view to what was at that time, the greatest power in the world. The world power. He chose to have a different world view, a world view that was of the people of God. He turned his back on sin, he turned his back on the riches, he turned his back on the fame, and he said, I'm going to live for God. And that was a decision that set him on his road to his destiny in the Lord. Now, he had no idea what that destiny was going to be, but God knew that God was going to use him to be the deliverer of the people of Israel eventually. But that was not going to be for several years hence. But Moses, not knowing what was going to happen, committed himself to the calling of God, that he was going to be among the people of God. And it is important. And I'm trusting that all, if not most of us here this morning, have responded to that call, that we realize that there is a greater purpose to life than what we see in this world, that there is a spiritual aspect and there is a God who loves us, and there's a God who calls us to live for him. I remember I was brought up in Sunday school and I was brought up in church, and I used to sit in the back row and color in, but you know, I could hear what was going on, and the word was not just going over my head, it was going through my ears as well. And you know, but there came a time when I was sitting in a service, when I realized that I had to do something about it, that I had to make a choice. I could have just grown up and become a member of the church. I could have drifted in, as it were, and become part of what was going on in that place. But I realized that there was a decision to be made, a commitment to be given, that I was going to live for God. And what that meant was to turn away from the way of the thinking of this world. Paul says that when we give ourselves to God, he says, don't be conformed, don't follow this world pattern. Don't follow the world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we need to know how to think properly. And the one question that we need to ask when we're discussing and considering the issues of life is, what does God think about it? What does God say about this? Because He gives us the directions. He gives us the instructions on how to live. And Moses chose to look to God for his instruction. And he didn't know where it was going to lead him, but he knew that there was a God who had a plan and a purpose. And by faith, he stepped out. But secondly, it says, by faith, he left Egypt. He knew that his future was not going to be living in the land of Egypt. He knew because he'd met God at the burning bush. And God had not only received him as a believer, but had given him a purpose. And God had spoken to him, and God had told him exactly what he wanted him to live to. And as we dwell in the presence of God, it took time for Moses to be ready. You remember that at the beginning, he tried to do it his own way and absolutely blew it and had to run away and wasted 40 years in the wilderness. But when he was ready, God called him again. And that's the grace of God, isn't it? That none of us is cast off. That God knows we may have begun years ago and done nothing about it, but God still calls us to come to Him, to receive our instruction, to live for Him in the world in which we live. And so Moses responded to that call. So he knew that God wanted him now to bring the people out back to Sinai. And so he left Egypt, not fearing the king, because now he was following God. And we need to have a new mindset on the instructions and a new commitment to following the ways of God. Many people ask the question, how do I know what God wants me to do? And how do I know the leading of God and what God's plan is for me? Well, very few people do know that. But what we do know is how we should be living at this moment. God wants to guide us through what we are going through at the present time. Because how we decide to live today determines where we'll be tomorrow. Jesus himself said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what's ahead. But live in today by making the decisions that God teaches us. And God leads us step by step. I'm glad he doesn't lead us leap by leap, but he leads us step by step. And every day we are making decisions. We are praying, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Lead me in the ways of righteousness. Don't lead me into temptation. Give me victory over the evil one. And in the likes of the Lord's Prayer and any other prayer that we are praying, we are asking God to lead us, and as we make decisions by faith in the light of God's word, then God will be leading us step by step. And before, as Moses received instruction, he didn't receive all of the instructions, but he received the first stage of those instructions. I know looking back in my life, there's been many changes in direction. That's not because I was going in the wrong direction. But it was because there was a need for God to take me around in a different way. And I ended up being, and still am, a part-time prison chaplain. Now, I had no idea of that when I was in my 20s and 30s, when I felt a call to the ministry, but I responded to that call. And through my years, God has led me into certain areas and answered prayers in wonderful way, and so that when I get to the end, I look back and I say to myself, wow, how the Lord has led me. But if I was to go back and think, where am I going? I couldn't have seen the way forward. But you see, each step was taken with a lot of prayer and with faith, believing that we're going in the right direction. And that's how God mainly leads people. Because the vision is in God's hands, the fullness of it. When I was a civil engineer for a while, for 13 or 14 years, I was responsible for setting out motorways. I was busy on the A1M motorway that was going through County Durham at the time. And as a surveyor, you know, we used to set up our instruments, our theodolite, and we would have a distant sight to get a good line, to get the right setting out for the motorway. The sight that we looked at wasn't where we were going, but it was a sight that gave us direction. And then along the line, we took a curve, and then we looked at another sight, and then we would look at another one. That's why our motorway sort of drifts sweetly through the countryside. But at the overall plan, I could see where it was going. That overall plan is in God's hands. It is for my instruction to know the direction that God wants me to go in. And Moses answered that. And the direction that he was going was not Egypt's direction, but to the promised land. I want to ask you this morning, which direction are you going? Are you worldly minded or overly concerned about the things of this world? Yes, we'll be with them for as long as we live, but is our mind set on things above? Are we destined for glory? Are we trusting in the Lord and overruling our decisions, handing them to him that we might make the right decision by faith to follow him? You see, by faith, it says Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. When he told the leaders of Israel what God wanted them to do, they must have really thought that Moses had lost it. You know, all through the time God had protected the children of Israel, you know, they hadn't had to do anything. But now he says, you know, we're going to have a roast lamb supper. Well, you can imagine them saying, oh, well, I fancy that. Yeah, I enjoy a roast lamb and all of the vegetables and all of the trimmings. But then Moses said, but I want you to catch the blood of the lamb in a bowl, and I want you to go outside your house and dip a bunch of hyssop in it, and then paint your doorpost and your lintel with it. And they must have thought, you must be joking, you know. We are strangers in a foreign land, but we've been here for 400 years. We're rather settled here. And these people will think we've really lost it. My neighbors will think that. And so it was a very strange thing to do. He didn't say why they had to do it. It was an instruction for God in a way, he said, so that you would be protected. Now, we know that there was a ministry, there was a picture there of Jesus. The blood of the sacrifice followed them all the way through the Old Testament. And very often, they didn't always understand what it was about. But praise God, by faith, they followed God. They did what he commanded them. And none of us will ever understand all the intricacies of God's theology and the doctrine of the Bible. None of us will ever know it all. There are some who think they do, but, you know, praise the Lord for humility. And we don't know it all, but we do thank God that he leads us and he guides us, and he just says, just do it. When you said, would you like to share something? I nearly shared something. I'll share it now. I was at a youth camp 2 weeks ago. And this was a camp in just the lower parts of Scotland, around the Kielder Forest. And we had about 200 teenagers for a week. So you can imagine I didn't get much sleep. I was up first thing every morning because I was in charge of the early morning Bible readings for the leaders. And then I was on night patrol at evening. So sometimes I didn't get to bed or two, and I had to get up at six. So I was a bit shattered by the end of the week. But I was really blessed because of the ministry of the word. And in particular, on the final night, there was just the preacher. This was the last camp that we've held them over 25 years, actually, those of us who have been organizing it. And this was the last one that we are going to do. And the preacher, knowing this, Roy Crown, he used to be with Youth for Christ, and he was really going for it. He was really preaching the gospel with great power, and the Lord was blessing him. And he was just using terminology that the young people understood. And he was just saying, if God is speaking for you, it's speaking to you, just do it. You know, just step out. Don't just sit and think about it. Just do it. And he opened the meeting for people to respond. And more than half of the congregation came out. And it was a wonderful time of ministry. And I was praying and being with several people. But I saw this little lad. He was 11 years old. And I went up to him and I said, Matty, why have you come out tonight? You know, and there was a group of us just gathering around him. And this little lad, 11-year-old, he said, I just want to do it. I just want to do it. And I thought, praise the Lord, that's a wonderful decision. He said, that's all God wants us to do. Just do it. Just do what he's told us to do. Do the Bible. Live the Bible. We are blessed with opinions. And we all have the right to an opinion. But the Bible teaches us we all have the right to be wrong. And very often we are. Only God's opinion matters, but he doesn't force us. He allows us to choose. He allows us to do his will. And no matter how strange it might be in this world, as God's people, God says, live this way and I will be with you. I will bless you. You just do it and I'll just do it. I'll come along and I'll be with you all of the way. By faith, if we get out there and step out in faith and live as God wants us to do in this dark world, he's called us to be the light of the world. If we will obey and do the things that he has called us to do and live the life that this world says, no, that's not the way to live. But yes, we say, yes, it is, because God has clearly said in his word, this is the way to do it. And I know when I'm talking to prisoners, and I know when I'm explaining to them in our discipleship group that we have there, that how God wants us to live in this world, some of the things I say, they say, no, man, no way. We can't live like that. We'll be walked over. We'll be just taken advantage of. And I've only got one thing to say to them. You've left God out of the equation. When God is with you and you live that way, that's the devil that says, no, you can't live that way. But God says, yes, you can. Because we can change. We can live and do things God's way and find that it works. Moses, by faith, obeyed God. And he sprinkled the blood. And he found the blessing of doing it God's way. And here we reach a remarkable part of the story, because now it no longer says by faith Moses, but it says by faith the people. You see, when we live by faith, we influence other people. And Moses was now transmitting his faith into the people of God, so that when they got to the Red Sea, they were faced with the Red Sea in front of them, and they had a mountainous wilderness to the right and the desert, to the left, and the desert to the right. And they had the Egyptians coming up behind them. And they ran with panic and said to Moses, now what do we do? You see, Moses had given them instruction, but now they were looking for instruction for themselves. And Moses went to the Lord, and Moses received the instruction, stretch out your rod over the sea. Again, a strange thing to do. But when he did it in the power of God and with faith in his heart, God opened a way for them. You see, when you do things God's way, God opens a way. And there are times when we might feel surrounded, where there's no way out, where there's no way through. But when we live the way that God has directed us, then God opens a way before us. And they went through the Red Sea as on dry land. And the people of Egypt tried to follow them, but they were drowned. They were overcome, because you see, they weren't the people of God. And as we follow, as we live, we will show the world that living God's way brings that freedom and release and that blessing and that deliverance that no other way can. And so it is that we must put our trust in God. And in the situation that we find ourselves in, all along the road, we will find decisions to be made. All along life, we'll have choices to make. But when we ask God for wisdom, when we ask God to guide us in those decisions, we will find that a way will open. I remember when I was coming to the end of my ministry work, as it were, as an engineer. Margaret Thatcher, bless our little cotton socks, she decided to close all the places that were known as new towns. And now I happened to work in one of those at the time, so I wasn't terribly pleased. And a lot of the men around me were really very upset and panicking, because they had set their careers in these places, and their families were settled, and now they were, all of them, hundreds of them were cast in, as it were, onto the work, looking for work elsewhere and abroad and all over, and they were very unsettled. Now, I can only say that in a strange way, I had a peace in my heart, because I knew that God had already began to call me and lead me into ministry in that area. So I thought, well, God must have something for me here. And so I'm just praying, Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? No answer came, so I just stayed put. And they were going in. My wife was saying, you might be missing on a job opportunity. You might be missing. Well, I said, well, I don't feel that God wants me to move away. I feel that God wants me to stay, that a way will open. And one day, one of the clerk of works came to me and said, Martin, there's a job on the notice board. It's right up your street. So I thought, well, go and have a look. And I went to have a look, and it was a job just a few miles down the road. And when I applied for this job, I was the only applicant. I had to wait because, you know, they've got to go out to three. They had to have three at least to interview. But I got the job because God opened a way. When we do things God's way and don't panic and make wrong decisions, Moses tried to do it his way and wasted 40 years of his life. We need to follow God's instruction. Just do it this way. No matter how fearful we might feel, and God will lead us. And the way opened before the people, not only Moses, but the people followed the Lord through the Red Sea. And by faith, they were delivered. And finally, by faith, the walls of Jericho, they entered into the promises. You see, there's between these two verses, there's another 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. You know, when they got through the Red Sea, you're well aware, I'm sure, of the time that they spent at Sinai. But when they got to the promised land, they didn't go in because they lacked faith. And they wasted another 40 years wandering round in the wilderness. That was not God's will. God's will was, as the writer to Hebrews is putting it here, that they passed through the Red Sea and entered into the promises. And it isn't God's will that we wander around in a wilderness experience. There are lessons to be learned in the wilderness, but let us quickly get through and get to the place where God has established his promise, to the place in life where he wants us to be. When they got there, they found that the cities were walled up to the sky, and many of the people, as they were 40 years earlier, were afraid. But what did they do? Joshua sought the Lord. And God said, just march around. We all know the story of Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and they walked around the walls once for 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day. And then when they shouted, the walls fell down. I just want to bring out to you that by faith, they walked the way that God told them to walk. In the sight of the people, they didn't walk right at the base of the walls, you know, but they walked around the walls and the people could see them. And God wants us to walk visibly as his people. And as we walk in his way, he will bring the victory. He says the battle belongs to the Lord. All he's called us to do is to live his way and that he will do the rest. His power is transmitted. It is the power of God. And so the walls fell down and they were able to enter in. And wherever they got to a city that was walled, they asked God what to do and they walked God's way. We have many illustrations of when they went and assumed that God was with them, but they lost that battle. You see, they must always know that they are doing it the way that God called them to. Walls will come down. As we witness to people, we will always meet opposition. We will always meet resistance. As we talk to people and try to live the godly way, we will always be opposed. But as we walk the way that God wants us to walk, he promises us that into the blessings that he wants us to go, those walls will come down. And he will be with us. Many, many, many years ago, I was a young Christian witnessing to my sister who was married, and I was trying to share Jesus with her, and she got to a point where she said, Martin, I don't want you to talk to me anymore about this Jesus and this gospel. We'll fall out, you know, if you push it anymore. I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to do anything with it. Just let's get on with our lives. And so, you know, not wanting to fall out in the family, I had to stand back from my witnessing in that area. But I still prayed for her. And many, 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 many years later, even right to when she retired, she must have been 60, she retired from work, and one of her old workmates came to her and said, Mavis, my mum goes to the Salvation Army. and she wants me to go to this Alpha course. And I don't want to go on my own. Will you come with me? And so Mavis went along with her. And she's still going. Praise the Lord. The walls came down. It took a long time of walking God's way. God said, just pray for her. Just pray for her. And it was many, many, many years. But you see, that's the way God works. We don't know. We all want an instant. We want an answer now. But, you know, God works when we are faithful. He is faithful. And as we walk His way, the walls come down. As the people walked God's way, the way opened for them. When they walked God's way, the walls came down for them. And God wants us to move into His promises. And the only way is for each and every one of us to walk by faith. There's no new idea going to come. There's no new whiz kids going to find the key to opening up society today. Jesus said, this is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. God's morals and God's ethics are the way of life from the beginning to the end of time. There is no new way. God is the way. And He has called His people by faith to trust Him. And I want to ask each and every one of you this morning, are you willing to put your full faith in the Word of God? Not just to decide to be a Christian, but to decide to leave the world's way of thinking. To think God's way, to be renewed in your mind as you read the Scriptures, and to become full of what God wants. Are you willing to obey even when you don't understand? Even when you don't know what it means, but just to live the way that God wants you. You know the question that all children keep on asking, why? And we're the same, aren't we, when God tells us to do something. But as parents, we just say to the children, because I say so. And God sometimes has to say to us, God, why do we have to do this? Because I say so. And you know, that's the way to obey. Do what the Father wants. Live our lives and make our standards and our decisions and what we live for according to the will of God. It will be going against the flow of the world, but the way will open for us to live for Him. And He will use our testimony. He will open ways for us to speak to people that we never thought that they were taking the slightest bit of notice. But when you walk God's way, people know. I just want to finish with one story. While I was working as an engineer, worked in an office full of men, about a dozen of us, and we got on with life, and I was the junior in that office, so I kept my head down, and I just tried to live my life the way that God wanted me to. One day I was walking along the corridor, and my boss was coming the other way, and he put his hand up and said, Martin, I want to have a word with you. Let's come into this empty office. Well, you can imagine what I was thinking, eh? What have I done now? You know, you always think that, don't you, when the boss wants you? And he sat down, and he began to pour his heart out to me. And I was a little bit bemused. And I said to him, why are you doing this to me? Why don't you share this with your friends in the office? And he said something very powerful to me. He says, Martin, you're the only one I trust. You see, he knew what they were like. But he had observed me, even though, you know, he'd seen that I was a man of my word. He'd seen that I tried to live the right way. He knew that I was a Christian. I'd let them know that. But I hadn't preached it down their throats and all the rest. But he'd seen the standard of life. And even if it was enough just to gain his trust for that moment, it gave me the opportunity of sharing with him. You know, people, as we live the right way, that will open the opportunities. And people will come to us. And people will be open to us, to the ways of God. We can never know where it leads to. I'd love to say that man became a Christian, all flowery. I don't know. I was just a rung in the ladder, as it were. But God wants to use us. By faith, just live the way that God wants us. And God will lead us into the promises. Don't be put off by the Red Seas. Don't be put off by the walls of Jericho. But keep walking God's way by faith. And He will lead us into those promises. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank You that You are a God of Your Word. And that You've given us Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word is so full and specific of the way that You want us to live. of the things that you want us to do. Oh Lord, you created this world and you've given us the plan, you've given us the instructions on how to live. Help us by faith to be like Moses and to determine to live the destiny that you have planned for us. Help us, Lord, to make our choices with the help of your wisdom. Help us, Lord, to come to you every time, Lord, that we might not take a wrong turn, but that we might be on the right road, that we might be able to bless those along that road by the example that we live in you. Help us to be obedient when we don't understand. Help us to, Lord, follow you in every area of our lives, even when it goes against public opinion. And Lord, help us above all to stand firm even when the way seems closed, so that we might see you work and bring us into the promises that you have given to us. Lord, by faith we take hold of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.